Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Ross Tucker. With Gina Gratt on news and Bald Brian on sound effects and around the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, just terrific, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We like that you share, right, Gina Grant?
We sure do.
Handball, Brian.
I don't need Brian to play a drop.
Or to talk, apparently.
Evidently, Brian's mic was on the fritz yesterday, unbeknownst to us.
A lot of people were pissed. Some people enjoyed it.
I'd say the majority of people, it was 50-50, 60-40 maybe in terms of enjoying it.
I would say the actual number of people who enjoyed it was really, I mean, medium low double digits. Mm-hmm. Medium low.
In terms of percentages?
Percentage-wise.
Okay, that's fair.
Medium low.
That's fair.
But.
Medium.
Medium. Well, I said medium low.
Okay. Yeah, what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes when you order a steak and you go medium rare and it's really bloody?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm doing with medium low.
Kind of like when we have our performance reviews annually. I say, how am I doing, boss? You're like, medium low.
Medium low.
Medium low.
All the great steak lovers and podcast lovers say that's the way you sure are. Medium low. But a percentage of those are doing it just to bust chops. I don't think it can possibly be, you know, 40%,
no. 50%. It can't be medium high.
110%. It's got to be medium low. No, a large percentage of people were busting chops, and a very, very, very small percentage of people, I include myself in that group, actually preferred you not being on the mic.
Well, you're welcome, everyone.
All right. But thanks to the hard work of Charles and Max Zapata and now Mike Dawson, you hopefully are clear as a bell.
To answer people's questions, they're like, how could this, like, it sounded the normal to all of us,
yeah,
everyone in there.
We clearly
like,
didn't know.
I could hear myself.
Yeah.
You could hear me.
Yeah, there's even and Dawson jinxed you and us a little bit because after the show he announced it may have sounded weird to you guys, but it was crystal clear in here. And it happens a lot where you go, it sounds weird to you guys, but what's going over the air sounds perfect. Mm-hmm. So
here we are.
All right, Quicken Loans. I want to thank them at rocketmortgage.com/Adam and Tommy John. Go to tommyjohn.com/Adam and Castrol Challenge. You tweet us your questions. Tell you all about it. And Amigo, use mine this morning. Life-changing. Amigo.com/M. Yes.
Can I ask a pre-Castrol challenge to you,
the car guy?
the guy who hosts CarCast?
Is it
ever good for one's battery to spark and then catch fire? Is that ever a good thing?
Can that ever help the car?
And address this to Gina Gratt, who this happened to no less than 22 hours ago.
About 20 feet from here.
In your parking lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a comedy of errors.
There was all kinds of drama going on outside.
All right. So
flames, open flames were had.
They were hitting me. I was told it was okay.
Flames galore sounds like the fake fireplace log corner yep. barbecues yep. galore.
Yeah, totally.
Go to get ceramic pine cones.
Yeah, yep.
You know what it was like? Gina's around in first, slow motion.
Well, I've had,
now keep in mind, I was just the innocent. I was a victim.
I've had many, many. You know,
I was the victim. I was trapped in the parking lot in my car.
There's many things involving cars that used to be a almost weekly or even sometimes daily occurrence. Bump starting a car, pushing a car, and jumping it. I had a pickup truck. I had a Mazda pickup truck with a 4 or 5 speed in it that I exclusively had to push and jump into or park on a riser. Every day was a little Miss Sunshine. So that was my life. I had cars that frequently needed to be bumped or jumped, you know, jumper cables, bumped. There was a lot of running out of gas. And then there's a lot of just general breaking in and getting towed and stuff like that, because it was always parked out in the streets of Hollywood and so on and so forth. So I had heard that at the end of the day yesterday that the driver in the vehicle for the car service for the guest had needed a bump.
A jump.
Yes. A jump. Yeah. Sorry, a jump.
A jump.
That's how this whole thing began. Jump.
And because my car happened to be next to that car, they said, oh, can you pop the hood? Yeah, sure, no problem. So somebody brought out some jumper cables.
And can I
Dawson said he had jumper cables.
Can I add a Rashomon element to this story? I'm very selfishly wanting to get the hell out of here so I can go get home. Not at home, but I can get to the theater and see Bad Times at the El Royale. I want to see it. I want to review it. And I'm sitting in my car. I'm like, oh, they're going to trap me.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this in my rearview mirror silently, but what I see is Gina pops the hood, and out come the jumper cables, and all of a sudden the guy, you know, the driver in his suit, driver, you know, he's a professional driver in the black car, he goes to attach the clamps onto the battery. He's having trouble, but whatever, he gets it done. All of a sudden, sparks, flying, sparks.
Flames, smoke, I'm getting hit with it, and his response to me is, it's okay. I go, okay. And so it starts smoking like crazy.
They were connected for
like
about 30
seconds. Like it's a special effects show at Universal.
And then smoke begins pouring out from the battery. And then as I'm like that's going to catch fire. Open flame.
Yep.
I mean, not a huge one, but like the size
enough.
Of the
you
size
don't see
of a
that
toaster.
Often.
Burner.
Size of a blender.
So here's what usually happens.
Open flame.
You, Max Bat, you can check this if I'm inverting it. But normally the car that's providing the power, doing the jumping, you put the positive on the positive of the jumper cable, the negative on the negative. Hopefully one's red and one's green or whatever it is. It's
red,
a little
black.
Hard, red and black. A little hard to figure out sometimes with a lot of more modern cars. It's not as in your face, sort of Frankenstein bolts and everything. But you put the power, the red to the power and the green to the black to the ground on that one. Then technically you're supposed to put the power on the car you're jumping and then take a ground. Such as a chunk of metal, something with a little heft to it, an engine mount or something, and ground it on that.
Okay.
Most people don't bother doing that. They just put it on the ground of the battery, which will work the same, but it might not be as safe or as effective. But everyone tends to do it. Now, when you get them inverted or flip-flopped, usually what happens is you don't notice for a few moments.
Uh-huh.
But what ends up happening is the cables start heating up because you have the power on your side, the ground on your side, and when we get to the other vehicle, we've got the power on the ground and the ground on the power. We flip-flopped it.
And they were toasty hot, those cables.
And the cables start heating up, and then at some point, maybe there's some fireworks, or oftentimes when you clamp it on initially, there's some big fireworks. Mm-hmm. When you initially try to clamp it, the spark lets you know, oh, you got it backwards.
All the above happened.
Yep,
right.
All of that
so
happened.
If somebody, so here's a way to do it. Here's a way to do it, or here's the way I would do it, let's say. I would put each jumper on your nipples.
Thanks.
I would put each jumper on your battery.
Yeah.
I would then power and ground. I would then do a move that I like to do, a Tesla-esque move where I hold the two thing apart, touch them.
Start crossing them.
Clink them once and get a spark. That's how we know we're hot.
That's how we know we're
good. Yeah. Because sometimes the connection's not good on your side. There's a little corrosion or whatever. Also, good idea to take the alligator clamps and sort of move them around a little, find some fresh
get
metal.
The sweet spot.
You know what I mean? Just kind of work the – sometimes there's a little corrosion built on there. Then go to the other side, and I think they'd probably say put the ground on first, and then put the power on, the red clamp on. Yep. Now, if you put that red clamp on and it fires back at you, you've got something mixed up.
It's an
indicator.
You've
got something twisted. There might be a small little spark, but if it protests, now's time to stop.
Okay.
Because you've twisted something around.
So as all of this happened, I was then told to give it gas.
That giving it gas is going to take your engine crank. It's going to speed it up. It's going to speed up your alternator because it has a belt going to the crank, and it's going to basically be like a water wheel, and we're going to speed up the stream a little bit. We'll get it moving a little faster, a little more current.
Yep. Which, if things hadn't been sparking and smoking, that would have been fine. Brian's standing there with his jaw on the floor.
I literally, this is the moment when I saw open flame. That's when I exited my car and, like a hero, screams, "What the hell's going on?"
No, but you redeemed yourself in the hero category.
I did yell at the guy.
The second time this happened, and he told me to leave my engine on, Brian goes, "Why did you leave your engine on?" I said, I was told to do everything I'm doing right now.
Adam, this is my Castrol Challenge pre-question. I've jumped several cars for friends or whatever, and my own in the past. The engine's always been off. Like, the battery still works if the engine's off. It's not like the battery goes dead when you turn your car off.
Yeah, so, couple things. It sort of depends on the size of the vehicle sometimes. If you are a smallish vehicle and you're trying to bump a big truck, then you might not have the juice.
Okay.
At least everything that I'm telling you is circa 1985, you know. But if you have a big, you know, big dually pickup truck, then you can zap a Fiat, no problem. Mm-hmm. If it's the other way around, they'll tell you your battery has power stored in it. It's hence the battery designation. But it's a constant draining of your battery. And when the car's running and the alternator's turning, that is charging your battery. So
right, more juice
just to be super sort of lowest common denominator or base for people. Your car battery sits in your car, and what essentially it's a cell phone that's going to go dead unless it gets plugged in. Mm-hmm. And what plugs it in is you starting your car and the alternator turning and charging it like a wheel.
Right.
If you look at an alternator, it looks like a miniature generator. Like when you go into the bowels of the Hoover Dam and you see these massive generators, they look like these little alternators size of a small pumpkin. It's basically the same thing. Just, you know, take some copper, put around an armature, put some magnets around it, whiz it around, create electricity, force that into the car. So when you're driving your car, you can even, and this all varies a little from car to car, but you can drive your car with a dead battery because the alternator is running your car because you're driving your car. Mm.
So basically, as long as it's plugged in, it's fine.
Usually.
Thinking about it like a computer or a phone.
If the battery is dead and you then stop your car and it's no good, the battery's no good, and you try to start your car, you can't start your car.
That.
You're starting it off the battery.
Right.
And the battery's not accepting a charge. If you can bump start the car or jump the car sometimes even and get it going, then it'll run off the alternator. So people say, especially if you have a smaller car, get in the car, start it up, let's feed the battery.
Okay.
It won't all just be coming off your battery. If your battery's low or a little compromised or something, and you got that big truck, it's going to, it's not going to be enough juice for it. So
that makes sense.
Starting it up, that's fine.
Well,
I get that.
Brian was kind enough to check in with me, make sure I wasn't dead by the 4:05 at night.
Did you make it home?
Yeah. So is there anything I should be worried about after the fireworks show, or we're all good? I got a newish car. It's all good. But it did seem, it was off-putting.
Some fire damage.
It was a little scary.
Cable battery order, according to the internet, is hook it up to the dead battery first. But you can't do my big sparks above your head Merlin Tesla move. Then hook it on to the working battery, positive side.
Yeah, it's a positive to positive. Yeah.
Positive to positive. And then a working battery ground. Yes.
Then the working battery negative, and then with the last one, you put it to an unpainted metal surface,
a ground
on your car. Yeah.
Right. All right. So I had about half of it right, but either way, that's the way they say to do it.
Do I need to get the car looked at, or is it fine?
No, your battery caught on fire, or his battery caught on fire.
Both. There were sparks and smoke coming out everywhere. And definitely mine.
Did we kind of determine that they had them flip flopped?
We did not determine that.
The polarity?
I don't know that we did. We just determined that maybe it was a bad cable.
Did you not see the open flame? Because you were in your car.
No, I didn't. Okay, I saw the sparks and the smoke.
Yeah, I had a good view. You had an open flame about Jesus the size of a blender.
Like, Dawson, what happened to the cables?
I believe the cables were just old. And I don't know. I didn't watch this going down. I just saw a bunch of smoke because I was on the other side of the car. But I think the cables were old.
And do you think they were flip-flops?
I think
they were
probably flip-flops.
Old and, like, touching? Sometimes.
They weren't. There was exposed. The rubber yeah. wasn't. There was definitely right. exposed wires.
Right.
That certainly had something to do with it.
So he got his car running, or how did he get
they
his car?
They eventually left, yeah. But then we got a new pair, a fresh pair of cables. Did it again. And
sans fire.
Yeah, sans fire. And then everybody left and crossed their fingers.
So he did eventually get going
yeah.
off of your car.
Yeah.
The flames came off of the battery.
Buddy, I was the only one who saw it, apparently, yes. I can't say it
the
was
hood the, was masking my
I
view.
Can't say it was the battery definitively, but it was for sure where the clamps were. They were, mm-hmm. From my point of view, 10 feet away, they were from where the clamps were clamped.
I well, feel great about
indicate
it.
The battery.
thank goodness we don't have to do much of this anymore, but for you guys who are, as long as we're in the battery department, if you have a second car or a hot rod or even a car like your own car that you're going to leave in the garage for 2 weeks while the family goes to Maui or whatever, go hop on Amazon, bookmark us, click through us, obviously, and spend between $14 and $52 on a good battery tender, a trickle charger, little thing that just kind of keeps it trickled, just plugged in and trickled, and not you won't run it down or have to cycle it up or whatever it
you
is.
You just plug it in and leave it and go on vacation and come back?
If you have, let's just say you've got that project car or that weekend car or that whatever, for a lot of people it's snowing for the winter and they don't bring their car out with the salt on the road because it's their 55 Chevy Bel Air that they've restored and right. they don't want to get the salt under there and whatever it is. They'll keep it parked in the garage on a trickle charger, they call it, a little battery tender. It just plugs in, little alligator clamps just go onto it, and it just basically is I'm going to keep the battery from not cycling down.
Cool.
It just they're called battery tenders or trickle chargers, right? You can't use them to jump start a car if the battery's dead. You can just keep battery
it dripping.
Sort of topped off.
Yeah.
Again,
imagine the movie Flatliners.
Yes.
Good movie.
Good potential,
well,
at least.
At the very least, this solves the mystery of your concern, Brian. Because
I was
like,
concerned.
Why is he so concerned?
I'm putting it together now. I was the only one who saw the flame, aside from the driver.
And the car works fine now.
Yeah, it's fine.
And everything's fine.
I think so, yeah. Hopefully it stays that way. I don't know anything about car fires, so I'm hoping that it's all fine.
Yeah, the other thing that was one of those vestiges of the past, which is driving down the freeway, especially out here in the San Fernando Valley, half the people, I felt like in the 70s, were driving VW Bugs. Half of them were, you know, it was 108 degrees going down the 101 freeway in the San Fernando Valley. And I'd see people frequently pulled over with car fires. Mm-hmm. Like they'd have vapor lock. And the next thing you know, you would see VW Bugs with burnt rear deck lids all the time, meaning the hood, but in the rear. Like you'd see where it was charred. You'd see where something happened to that car. All right. We're going to get our guest on, Ross Tucker, in a second. We had our own trials and tribulations yesterday with the power out. I had a power outage at my
house. Again? We only had one. You've had a few.
I had a long power outage. Was forced to play Uno with
family
my own children.
Oh, you poor thing.
Forced to stoop to Uno.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
With my own children.
You're the real victim.
Uno with my own
thoughts and prayers, man.
Children,
prayers.
It was tough.
Yeah.
No microwave.
No.
No sports center.
Oh, it's Monday.
No
football.
Fortnite.
You missed a good game.
I know. Forced to play Uno. Found myself at the gym walking on a treadmill just to stare at the TV that was mounted on it.
A single tear goes down his cheek. Go fish.
Mm. kids had to walk the phones back and forth to Olga's RAV4 to get them charged outside.
Oh, God. Humanity.
All right. My wife, by the way, I don't know. You guys tell me, because I hate to be wired this way, but when the power goes out in my neighborhood, it'll be like my block and one block, and then the other side of the street the power's on, and that makes it tenfold worse.
It taunts you from across the street.
It taunts me. Like, I literally walk. I took Phil for a walk last night, and I was looking, and it was like, oh, the power's on. Oh, and then there was one house that was like on the corner, like my street and the other street, and the power was on because the address must have been on the other street. And I don't know, whatever it was. But I just walked around. I pictured them laughing and playing video games and
using
those jet puff poppers for their popcorn, you know, and maybe playing air hockey. You know what I mean? Like all the great uses of energy. Pong, all the great. She's got her hair in one of those dryer helmet things.
Yeah.
The husband's trying to talk, but
all
he can't hear.
All the most modern technology.
She points and shakes her head. Like,
they're pointing. They're doing that Tesla thing where I'm doing with the jumper cables, but in the living rooms. And I'm just looking at everybody. But the ultimate escape the carnage. So no microwave. So how am I going to eat dinner? The wife, Lynette, announces at 5:30, power's out, but like just got home, 5:30, still light outside. It really sinks in. It's like Dawn of the Dead when it goes dark. She announces, I'm going to Studio City. I'm going to dinner with a friend of mine. I'm like, oh. So
don't leave me.
Save yourself.
She took off. We were left behind to play Uno and for me to make something in a frying pan that I couldn't really see. And then the power was out the whole night, and about a minute and 41 seconds after she came home from eating dinner, the power came back on.
Oh, lucky
and
lady.
I just thought, you mock me. You mock me.
With your powered life.
Now, we should have no thoughts about this, I thought, oh, my God, did you just game this system? You went out.
What's your secret?
To California Pizza Kitchen in Studio City. You had an old friend from high school. You had a lovely meal for 3 hours, and right as you came home, everything just lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh,
what a life.
Worst.
Yeah. Sadly, you're going to have to be punished. I wish you didn't have to pay the fiddler.
This happened to us too on Friday, and I swear to God, I wish it was recorded because it's too good to be true. It was a long day. I had a guy over. We were all, you know, hanging out. He was exhausted. He had a bunch to do. He walks in. I ordered dinner, and I said, "Well, the good news is, from this second on, the weekend has started." And all of the lights went out for the rest of the night. It was awesome.
I know. Also makes you. It's an interesting thing because you start immediately getting into that, hey, man, why don't we have one of those Tesla power packs or some battery backup or a generator, whatever. And I have put those in homes I've lived in before. But
yeah, seems like something you'd have.
And it's something that,
wait a minute,
it's on my mind. And then the second the power comes back on, I'm like, what? Where's SportsCenter? And I go right back to it. Yes.
You, at least in the last house, one of the last houses, you had a generator. You actually had a generator for like emergencies.
I had a generator. I had one that was powered off of natural gas.
It was
plumbed in from natural gas. So you didn't even
Take it with you.
Couldn't take it with
me. Well, I mean, you could, I suppose. It'd be a lot of
trouble. Are there solar power generators? You just leave them outside?
No, there is no solar power generator. What there is batteries that are powered. Oh, we're going full trickle charger now for the house. All right, I'll tell you the system. I'm gonna look it up and I'll keep you guys posted. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Close your eyes, imagine yourself in your current underwear. Unless you're driving, of course. Let's not do that. How do you like the way you look? If you don't like the way you look, then I got an answer for you. Tommy John. They obsess over every detail. They're the best. They do men's and women's underwear with no wedgie guarantee. Stay put waistbands, feather light, breathable, moisture wicking fabrics. Women's underwear now.
Wearing them now.
Fully. Me too.
Me too.
I mean, not the women's. The women's on my head. I got the Tommy John down below. They're now back fully in stock. I would make anything I would wear anything these guys wear. If you don't like the first pair you get, then I got a refund. It's called the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam and save 20% on your first order, plus free shipping and free returns on all dress shirt purchases. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Let's see. So, trickle charger for your house. What all houses should have, especially in this neck of the woods, is solar panels up top, battery pack down below. So the batteries are constantly charged by the solar panels.
Okay.
When then it gets dark outside, then the power goes to the batteries, or even before it gets dark outside. Theoretically, I mean, obviously we have this technology. The question, you know, the question with technology is like, you know, as I always sort of talk about, it's like cars. We had invented the first airbag for a car 21 years before they started showing up with airbags off of them. We had figured out a car and an airbag, but it still took 20 years for manufacturers to start putting them in all the steering wheels. I get that part of life. We're kind of at the point now where if you built a new house, the new house, or obviously you can retrofit an old house, but if you're building new, you should have solar panels on the roof and then a series of batteries. And when I say batteries, they would come in different forms. Don't think of car battery. They used to literally just take like car batteries and like daisy chain them together for like hospitals stuff. Oh, guys got to have the dialysis machine running. So they would do that. But a battery pack, multiple battery packs, depending on the size of your house, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 square foot, just multiple battery packs, multiple panels on the roof, constantly charging battery packs off grid.
Great idea.
No, and it wouldn't matter if there's a power outage. You'd constantly have a bank of charged batteries to run what you needed to run. And what you could do now, and I guess what you can do with the battery packs, I'm not an expert on it, is Your house has a 200-amp panel. You pick what you want. Well, we want to keep the refrigerator on. There's one breaker we want. There's a one
water heater.
20-amp unit. We want the water heater on. We want the TV in the den to come on.
All the essentials.
We want the lights in the kitchen. I also have neon man show signs. It gives me confidence that I put it on top over my desk. Then there's my pinball machine.
Sure.
And then there's you pick out, let's say,
there's one wheel, it goes around and around.
Right. They will say there is, let's say, 8 circuits you can keep lit up. So you would go, all right, I have an electric garage door. I want to be able to get in and out. So we'll do that. I'll do the refrigerator.
Yep.
You guys get the math. Use them. Mm-hmm. Use them wisely. Start with the good stuff. Start with the essentials.
Right.
Get down to the TV set in the guest room or whatever it is. But there's also a version where you just heat up the whole house, and that's what I'd like to get to. All right. Let's see. Ross Tucker calling in.
His line just dropped, but he's calling right
his
back.
His line just dropped. He's an ex-NFL lineman. Did play for Cleveland, but not the guy who I got – not the guy I chatted with about Orlando Zeus Brown some weeks ago on a boat. Just another big white boy. And by the way, you know the thing about NFL? You start to realize where you go, oh, wait a minute. Was this the same guy? This guy played for Cleveland. All offensive linemen played for Cleveland for one season. Like, this, narrow it down. And you'd be surprised how many guys played for how many teams. Even, even when you take your Jerry Rice's or your Terrell Owens, are you guys that are in the Hall of Fame? You think it was like a perennial something, Deion Sanders or whatever. You realize, oh, no, they played for 5 teams.
Played for Buffalo for 2 years.
Yeah, you think about Neon Deion, and you think about, oh, you know, Cowboys, you might think about it. You think about San Francisco 49ers, but you don't realize he played for like 6 teams.
Washington,
like,
Baltimore.
This guy's just kept going. All right, Ross is on line 2. Ross?
Hello.
Good to speak to you. You sound like a former offensive lineman.
Is that good or bad?
It's good if there's a situation involving road rage. It's bad if we're speed dating.
I forget, Adam, were you D-line or linebacker?
I was O-line and then a linebacker back in high school where they just sort of force you to play two ways. And, of course, the sexiest position of all, long snapper.
You could have made a nice 20-year career out of that, Adam, if you had worked on it more.
I realize while not having the size to be an interior lineman in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination or the speed to play linebacker or anything, I was good at long snapping and could have just been a specialist and played in the league solely as a long snapper. What was your position?
So I played all five offensive line spots. Like, you know, when I went to Princeton as a freshman, I was a D-end, and then over winter break, we got a keg of Yingling every night and went to the diner at 2 a.m. So when I came back at 285, they moved me to offensive line, which was the best thing that ever happened to me because I definitely would not have made the NFL on the defensive line. So I could play all five. All of my starts for the Cowboys and the Bills were at center and both guards, though. So I was interior, and I tried to do the long snapping thing. I could do it for, like, field goals and extra points, but for punts, they're, like, 15 yards back there, and you got to have a pretty decent arm to be able to get it back there as fast as they needed to.
It's all in this weird hip sort of thrust action. It's all in this weird lift hip pump. Mm. It's all in this weird move that I would sort of describe as back in the day when you would help people move, and they would have milk crates filled with albums.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy always used to tell me, when Jimmy used to DJ parties, when Kimmel used to DJ parties, you have to show up with a milk crate. Like a massive milk crate. And picture a tailgate in a pickup truck down that had a little lift kit on it. And picture you trying to get this up to the top. That last 3 inches, move, that's the move that gets a little bit extra hot sauce on that ball between your legs, Ross Tucker. By the way, the podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Program on Podcast One, and you can shoot him a tweet at Ross Tucker NFL. Who is the toughest guy you won against? Who is the toughest guy to block?
Oh, easily Ray Lewis, and I tell people that all the time. In 04, I started at center for Buffalo down in Baltimore. And you know what's funny, Adam? Everybody always thinks, oh, Ray Lewis, he's so big and strong and fast and he's so vicious. What was amazing and what I was so impressed by is I'd say 50% of the time that game, he called out what play we were running. Mm-hmm. You know, he had done that much prep work. He had put that much time in during the week. I remember coming over to the sideline and the coach saying, Tuck, you got to block Ray on that outside sweep. And that was back when we had, like, the Polaroid pictures on the sideline, not, right, like, the tablets or whatever. So I showed him the picture, and when I snapped the ball at him, Ray was already outside the tight end on the line of scrimmage. I said, you guys better call a different play or a different formation. And even every time I went to block him, with the butt of his hand, like the hard part of his hands, he would lock me out and throw me to the ground and make the tackle, to the point where our running back, Willis McGahee, was like, hey, Tuck, just try to cut him or something. So then for the rest of the game, I literally just dove at Ray Lewis's knees because I was not able to block him up high like a man.
Well, the you know, the stories of the Ray Lewis's and Mike Singletary's and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, you realize so much of it, everyone talks about the ferocity and the attitude and everything, but so much of it was just knowing, yeah, and being able to be the sort of field marshal,
studying,
literally the field marshal out there, right? Because they're both same guys. They're like undersized, mm-hmm, guys who just knew the game better than anybody else.
Yeah, so much of it is just like your initial quickness. And if you can see or have a good idea, like they would know based on our formation that there was only two plays we ran out of it, right? And then they would look at me or like the guard and they would say, okay, well, there's two plays. So if the right guard goes right, it's that play. If the right guard goes left, it's that play. And so they're just watching that guy. And the first little movement he has, they are shot like they're out of a cannon and hit it. And it's really impressive because that's the thing I tell people all the time. So I played 7 years for five teams. And the thing that people would be surprised about is how mental it is and how much that actually separates. Like, I played New England with Brady, right? Like, he is smarter than everybody else and puts more time in than everybody else. And that's the biggest reason why he's the best. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not that. He's actually really slow. We used to make fun of him, and we would do like the ladder drill or something, and he was so pathetic at it. But it's so much more mental than people ever realize. Like, I guess it's almost like any other business where really it's the smartest people that usually have success, or at least the smartest in that craft or in that endeavor.
I don't want to compare or trade war stories or even compare myself to you, but last night, after the power went out at my house, I was forced to play Uno with my children, right? hold on. It gets more intense.
Yeah.
At a certain point...
You think it's bad now.
We decided to give up Uno for a game we called Bullshit. And at a certain point, my daughter was kicking ass, and she, you know, it's like, okay, now it's up to you, Natalia. You got to throw down sevens. And she'd go, okay, four sevens, and she'd throw them all down. And I was looking at her. Like, I was trying to read her.
Right.
You know, I was doing what Ray Lewis was doing. I was doing what Singletary was doing. I was doing what Buckus was doing. I was looking her in the eye. She didn't blink, okay?
Right.
I had to back down at that point because she had the best bullshit face I'd ever seen.
Wow.
And I didn't think a woman could lie to her father that way. But evidently she could, because after we moved on and I didn't call bullshit, she then yelled out the word peanut butter, which meant she was lying. And that happened to me several times. I'm not comparing my situation with yours, but I know what it's like to be sort of in the shit,
yeah,
as they say.
The
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when the power's out.
Yeah, this is a couple of veterans of a different war,
right,
but trading stories.
But nonetheless significant.
Significant. Thank you, Ross Ducker.
Adam, how old is she?
She's 31 and severely retarded. No, I just say that because it makes people feel horribly uncomfortable. She's 12.
She has a mind of 12.
Got it.
She has a mind. But
that concerns me. My daughters are 5 and 6, and I'm very concerned about them ever lying to me. The older one would never lie to me. The younger one lies right to my face every day.
Don't play cards with her.
You know, there's a couple elements that go on with the daughters. There's them, and then there's their relationship they're going to have with your wife, which is basically, this is Sunni and Shiite basically going at it over some holy land. You as a Westerner outsider won't fully understand what's going on. They'll both be screaming at each other in the kitchen over nothing.
In some tongue you can't understand.
And you'll go in there as the blue-eyed guy from the West who goes, look, we all just want to get along,
and
right?
They turn their firearms on you.
They don't trust you.
No, they do not. No, they do not. That much. And the only good thing about having a son, not that he's going to help in any way, shape, or form, is literally having another penis and ball sack in the room that you can give a knowing nod to at a certain point where you can go, oh, get used to this.
You believe this shit?
Yeah. You should adopt a young boy just so you can have a third, just a set of eyeballs that knows
and balls.
That knows and balls that knows your pain in that kitchen when the Sunni and the Shiites go at it.
That's exactly how I've heard it described. Not the Sunni and Shiite part of it, but yes, I'm very, very nervous. I'm going to try to enjoy when they're 5 and 6 as long as I possibly can.
Please do. The podcast, once again, is the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and the website is betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 when you're betting. We'll tell you about the challenge in a second. What was Brady like in the huddle? What kinds of things would he say that were different than Hogaboom or whoever he played with over at Dallas? Who'd you play
nice
with at Dallas?
Nice pull there, Hogaboom. That's amazing.
That's a deep cut.
My Dallas quarterbacks, Quincy, by the way, were Quincy Carter and Chad Hutchinson.
Quincy Carter?
Yeah, so as it relates to Brady, you know what I remember the most about him is that was the fourth team I played for, and they have so much of the responsibility is already on his shoulders. Yet when I was playing center and I had to snap the ball to him, before he said anything else, he would look me in the eyes and say, all right, Ross, starts with me and you. Great snap first. And then he would call the play. And Adam, I played football since sixth grade. And, you know, I mean, quarterback center exchange, it's the first thing you do at every practice. It's like really mundane. You're launching a ball to your rear and the quarterback has his hands there. I mean, it's just blah, right?
Sure.
Not to him it wasn't. Like, he didn't want it to be a good snap. He didn't want it to be a great snap. He wanted it to be a perfect snap every time. And I'll never forget that, because nobody else ever said anything, unless it was a bad one. Nobody else ever cared. But he just, it's kind of how he lives his life. Like, he doesn't see any point in doing it unless you're going to try to make it perfect. Like, in his mind, a perfect snap gives him the best opportunity to have the perfect drop back, which gives him the perfect amount of time to throw the perfect pass to the perfect guy who's open. He's just unbelievably detail-oriented. And at the time, it was my fifth and sixth years in the NFL. I was 26, 27. I had started a bunch of games. Yet when he looked at me, Adam, and said that, in my head, I was thinking, okay, Tom, okay, I will. It's going to be great. Like, I was like a little boy whose dad was telling them, you need to do this. It was just something, the way he looked at you, it was crazy.
It is, it's funny. I was talking to, somebody the other day about baseball, and, talking about playing like celebrity baseball games. We had Dean Cain in here the other week where he was talking to him about hitting his home run at a game I remember playing at. This was another game, and it was a softball game, and Tommy Chong's son came up. What's Tommy Chong's son's name? Anyway.
Not Ray Dunn.
His son. I was playing center field. What's his name?
Paris?
Probably.
This guy
just hit the longest ball into the night ever, and I was playing center field, and my first thought was, well, let's see if I can go get this thing and hold him to a double or a triple. And the right fielder was a professional baseball player, or an ex-professional baseball player, because it was like pro-am, whatever thing.
Rock and jock.
Yeah.
And yes.
The guy in the right just went like, go, go, go. He started screaming at me. And I just sort of, he just yelled like, turn your back and run. And I just turned my back to home plate. And I just started running like off into the night. I wasn't looking over my shoulder or anything. And the guy was screaming the whole time. Like, you got it, you got it, you got it. And then the ball was just like a towering, one of those big old softball major looper, like caught all of it flying into the night. At a certain point, he was screaming like, you can do it. And then at a certain point, he yelled like, lay out or something. And I just dove. And I made the greatest catch of my life. And I think I slightly dislocated my shoulder.
Worth it.
But it was like, I wasn't planning on any of this. It's just there was a guy who was relentless about winning who started screaming while the ball was in the air. And I thought, it's kind of infectious. Like, it does
it motivates.
Work. I was going to just trot back there, pick it up off the ground, and chuck it into the shortstop. So I
Thank
guess.
Thank God Kevin Mitchell was out there that day.
That's right. I guess Puckett. Hogaboom may have been out there. I guess. Brady has that effect on everybody, right?
Yeah, so the deal is that he is so intense and so hard on himself that you really, like, you'll get embarrassed if you are not trying to play and work at the same standard. That's the biggest reason in my mind why they've had success. And not only that, Adam, but like I had played for the Bills the 2 years before I was in New England, and we beat the Patriots once but lost three times. And the Patriots, by the way, had won the Super Bowl those 2 years in a row. And I can tell you, like, when you play for New England, you expect to win every game. And that's just a difference. Like, as a player, you want to win every game. You hope to win every game. But New England, like, no matter what the score is, no, you're like, well, we got Brady. Like, we got the guy. Like, we got the best ever. So it's almost like, it's, you know, success breeds success. It's almost like on some level a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, he's good and everybody knows he's good. So you play to the best of your ability, but you also, I think, play even better than you think you can, because you know you're going to win because you've got the best guy ever at by far the most important position.
But it's really interesting, that psychological component of not wanting to let somebody down, whereas, you know, Jeff George is your quarterback. You don't have that same pressure. Just thinking of a guy with a cannon.
Jeff George, by the way, was actually an awesome dude. He, my rookie year with the Redskins.
That's like showing a point, everyone.
Yeah, you played with him?
Yeah, no, this is actually, I always tell the story. My rookie year with the Redskins, I'm an undrafted, you know, piece of shit free agent from Princeton, and I tear my MCL like the fifth day. Jeff George was 33 years old, and, you know, he saw me, and he was like, we're in the cafeteria during training camp at Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and he's going to get a smoothie. He looks at me and goes, hey, Tuck, you want a smoothie? Like, I didn't even know he knew my name. And I remember thinking, like, I remember saying, like, yes, Jeff George, I'll take a smoothie. That'd be lovely. Thank you. Like, he was actually a really, really nice guy. Meanwhile, I don't know what happened. I think he got into it with Marty Schottenheimer. They cut him after the second game. He was our starting quarterback. My rookie year, I was like, wait a minute, they just fired the starting quarterback? Like, they didn't bench him, they fired him? So, I don't know, maybe he wasn't as nice of a guy to Marty Schottenheimer, but he was a heck of a nice guy to me.
I just say he's a guy with an example of a cannon for an arm who may have not had the leadership or competitive qualities that a Tom Brady had. All right, Ross, let's see. The podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Podcast One. You can shoot him a tweet at Ross Tucker NFL. And you're one of the guys we're playing against in our league, right?
I am, and it's been a it has not been good for me, because I'm the one that played in the NFL. I'm the one that, this is all I do is different football media stuff. Meanwhile, I've got my listeners telling me that Rob the Survivor dude has won a couple times. Because the deal is, you get the $100 for five of your listeners at betonline.ag, and I haven't won the thing yet. Meanwhile, Rob the Survivor dude has won twice. So it's really just served to embarrass me. The whole thing has thus
Boston
far.
Rob? The Survivor
yeah.
dude?
Yeah,
the same one.
He's my favorite. Sorry, always rooting for Boston Rob. Nobody played Survivor like Boston Rob. You can go to betonline.ag and find out all the info. Ross, thanks for checking in with us.
My pleasure, Adam. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice when guys from Princeton make
slipped in the Princeton thing a couple times.
Make it to the show. All right. Let's see. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. I don't know what the theme is. Do we know what the theme is, Dawson? Can you moisten our panties with the theme?
Easy. Yeah, because we found out that Dennis Hoff died.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do movies.
It's breaking.
Featuring
Dennis
bunnies.
Hoff?
Oh. Playboy yeah. bunnies. The actual bunnies.
Oh. This broke on the way here.
So women who were... You know, his ladies were in the Bunny Ranch.
Right.
So we're digging into Playboy Playmates who starred in movies.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they chickens? I guess they were bunnies.
It was the Chicken Ranch. Bunny Ranch.
Where was the Chicken Ranch?
The Chicken Ranch is a thing.
But that's not Dennis Hoff.
I'm almost positive it was the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, the Bunny Ranch.
Oh. It is the Bunny Ranch.
What's
there's
the
like
Chicken
the moonlight
Ranch?
There's also
a chicken place in Santa Barbara called the Chicken
no,
Ranch.
No, that's not
well,
it.
Sign me up. Is that dude alive?
Yeah.
This is also a brothel located about 60 miles west of Vegas near Pahrump.
Chicken Ranch brothel.
So there's a Chicken Ranch and a Bunny Ranch.
Yep.
All the livestock.
I feel like the Chicken Ranch, I feel like I knew about them first. Maybe Dennis is the one who took over the bunny. And which one has been around longer?
I'll find that out right now.
I feel like the chicken is old school. All right. Let me tell you about Casserole Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Casserole Challenge with your question. Casserole Challenge, brought to you by Casserole Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times!
Three right. times, fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetics. All right, so you want to know how to jump a town car, Gina Grant? Now, you have a question, Max Pata?
Sure, this comes from Sir Gavin Grisham on Instagram. Hashtag Casserole Challenge. Ace Man, due to the recent spike in Japanese race cars, or race cars in general over the last few years, will you keep buying mainly Newman-owned cars, or will you branch out and purchase other vintage Japanese cars with competition history?
I like the Japanese stuff. It was always kind of discriminated against, and I mean that sort of in the full weight of the word discrimination. These old vintage races, they like German stuff and Italian Ferrari and Porsches and Mustang and Cobras and like American Muscle, and they kind of turned their nose up at the Japanese stuff. And now it's all come around, and now they're starting to appreciate the stuff more. As I always tell people, I did not start off as a collector of Paul Newman race cars. I start off as a collector of Japanese race cars, but Newman drove Japanese race cars. So some of this stuff had his name on it. And seeing as how the Newman stuff is all crazy out of, everyone has figured out, ever since his watch sold for $18 million, everyone now wants $1 billion for everything that Paul Newman ever touched. So,
sweet.
It's good
for you, right?
But I think I'm probably out of the business of buying anything with his name on it anymore, because everyone has either figured out it's worth a lot or just assuming it's worth a lot and, aiming for the stars. So, like the Japanese stuff, we'll continue. Have some other significant Japanese stuff, but I won't bore you guys with it because why would you know about companies like Electromotive or BRE or something like that?
Check out CarCast every Saturday.
Although, check it out. We will get into some detail there. Chicken Ranch, 1976. Bunny Ranch, 55. So, I had that original one flipped over. That's the original. All right. Let's see. So, the theme is movies that starred actual bunnies in them. Can we do this? Mm-hmm. Can we institute a initial 5-point deduction if we can all think of a movie that is going to be on the list?
Ooh. All right. Sure.
All right. Might be fun. the only movie.
One. I feel like I'm at a disadvantage.
Should you think of one movie? Because
One movie.
I haven't studied up like the rest of you.
I need a pen.
The only movie. you know when you look back on these movies, like Soul Man and stuff that had like, they were like, I'm not offended, but they were had wildly offensive themes. Yep. And you look back and
Speaking of Radon Chong.
And they're not that old.
Right.
Yeah. Like you go, somebody made C. Thomas Howell put on blackface and go to college and talk like, hey, Jive Turkey, what'd it be like? You know, like, it was from 1997. Yeah. Like,
you could argue that Long Duck Dong was an offensive character.
Sure.
Yeah, but it wasn't the whole theme of the movie. What is the movie with... Horatio Sands and Cuba Gooding Jr. Boat trip.
Where they're on a singles cruise, but wait for it. It's all gay dudes.
Oh, no.
So they have to pretend to be like gay to like get onto the cruise. But then the Swedish bikini team shows up, too. Yes. And they like think they're gay. This movie is made in the modern era. Yeah. Right?
It doesn't hold up. This movie that's 14 years old.
Wasn't that the premise of I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry?
That actually had a decent premise.
That wasn't the premise?
No, the premise was there are firefighters. They needed health insurance, but they needed to be married or something
like
that. Life insurance or something.
Yes, somebody's like wife died. And no, the premise was sort of there. The execution of it, like when the guy, like, I don't know, like the federal guy would come sniffing around like, hey, I was looking through your trash can. A lot of Hungry Man Salisbury steak. I never knew any gay guys say that. Oh, we were out of sushi. Like they would do like a lot of slapping each other on the ass. Oh, you.
Oh,
like
they had to.
It was the execution of them way overgaying it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Max Betta.
Yeah, there's just one stipulation. These are Hollywood actresses that have posed in Playboy.
That was the loophole.
All right,
I was like,
I'm going to
Gina has level playing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I'm taking
barbed wire and Borat.
I'm taking. I'm going to remove then. Well, I'm going to walk that back.
So they're not bunnies.
But I still want to know Boat Trip, and I still want to know the. If you go on IMDb and it just gives you the premise of Boat Trip. And also, like, again, like 2002 or 2001, like not ancient times.
I have the IMDb description for Boat Trip is, two straight men mistakenly end up on a gays-only cruise.
Gays-only.
Gays-only.
Yeah.
Gays-only cruise.
You guys want to guess?
Victoria Silvstedt, Playmate of the Year, was in that. Okay. And I think somehow the Swedish bikini team ended up on the boat.
Wow.
And that's about, what year is it from?
2002.
Oh, that's crazy. That's also insane that we're making, in a world where guys spend years trying to get movies made, like years and years. I don't know. Get Out probably took 8 years to make or something. Why is that movie just greenlit immediately?
Immediately
greenlit. Also, there is no, like, I mean, Cuba Gooding Jr. and Horatio Sands, nice enough gents,
sure,
but not a whole list of victories behind them. Like, oh, everyone loves those two together.
Oh, it's a Horatio Sands vehicle?
Was Cuba Gooding Jr. still riding high off of Jerry Maguire at that point? That was 96.
I don't say riding high. I don't know that he does this movie if he's riding high off of anything.
Just came off of Snow Dogs.
Mm-hmm. So does that answer your question?
Answer the question.
Rat Race.
Uh-huh.
Rat Race.
And Rat Race. All right. Okay. There's Horatio and Boat Trip and lots of hot chicks for a gay cruise. All right. We'll get ready. We'll play that game in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Amigo. Revolutionary toilet seat replacement. Washes all the right places. You can adjust the water temp. You can position and pressure. You can do the width. You can do the movement. I got to tell you something, life-changing. In a world where you have to kind of figure out, like, well, where do I want to spend my money? You know what I mean? Like, I've always been a guy who, even when I was poor and I was a carpenter, I'd spend a little extra and get the Bosch jigsaw and not the Porter Cable one because it was a better tool.
The two-ply of tools.
I would argue that I would use it a lot. You know what I mean? The toilet seat you use once a day, twice a day, three times a day, God willing, you're on that thing. It's not a thing that you don't use very often. It's
not ignored.
You use a lot.
No.
And this thing is life-changing because you can say goodbye to toilet paper, although I like to do a little dabbing just to play it safe. You plug it in. You hook it up, install it yourself in just 20 minutes. And again, today, had my morning constitution, took my cold shower right after that, took Phil out for a nice long walk around the neighborhood. And when I pulled back into the house, I realized there's still a little something left in the tank. But I did not want to hop back into the shower again, but yet I like that freshly scrubbed
localized
feeling.
Localized shower.
And that's where the Amigo comes in. So you get $100 off your first order when you go to myamigo.com/Adam. That's myomigo.com/Adam. Get $100 off. I'll tell you, you'll do it. You'll never regret it. It'll change your life. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll do good sports, and then we'll come back with Rotten Tomatoes right after this.
Hey, ghouls and gals, if you're in Vegas for Halloween weekend, then be sure to join us for costume karaoke at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. Hang with Lynette Carolla and AJ Benza for a meet and greet from 7:30 to 9, October 27th. Then get ready for a karaoke contest fueled by a haunting amount of Mangria and endless rant, judged by AJ and Lynette. So join Carolla Drinks, AJ Benza, and Lynette Carolla for costume karaoke Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. More info at adamcarolla.com. No ticket necessary. Just show up and drink.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. on Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we were talking yesterday. We got sidetracked as usual, but we were talking about the senses, the five senses, and which one you feel you could do without to bring everybody up to speed if they missed yesterday's episode. You said feel, touch. You don't feel like you need it.
I don't want to lose any of them, but others are more important than that one in my estimation.
I think as much as I would miss the sweet smell of meat on a grill, fresh cut grass, things like that, I think smell is the one you can do without. The only thing, like you said yesterday, is you can smell your own wounds if they've become infected. But nothing else, and you wouldn't, if your house is on fire, you might not smell that.
Well, but you also could avoid, like, what happened to me at Heathrow, which is I went into London about 5 years ago. The endless line over, everyone had to clear customs, and the customs line is just sort of endless. If you hit it at the wrong time, it's serpentine, and it goes on for an hour or more. Also, there's a weird thing, too, which is, it's funny, the human wiring. You know, I'm going into London to either just play a show, pay some taxes, and go home, or attend, like, the Goodwood Festival. But when you're waiting in line, and we don't know if we're going with custom agent number one or customs agent number two, at a certain point, you feel a little sweat in your palm. Then you think to yourself, keep it cool, dude. And then you realize, I'm not doing anything.
I'm not holding.
I'm not here to off the prime minister. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going through the customs. But there's a little element of, it's a surprise inspection on me.
That is funny. Yeah, you're right about that. You feel that anxiety. But yeah, I also love the other side of that. That, I mean, I'm trying to think of how many. It seems like it's usually athletes that this happens to. I think it happened to Barry Switzer. I don't know. I don't want to put that on somebody who didn't do this, but I'm pretty sure it was Barry Switzer, the head coach. At some point, these guys, they're going through security, and then they have a gun in their bag, and they're like, "I completely forgot I had that in there."
Yeah.
How comfortable are you holding your heater that this is what you're doing? You're going through cuts.
It's happened to many an athlete, many a rapper, and Plaxico famously, but that was at a club. But it is a weird thing that the casualness of a gun for some people, like,
this thing? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was in my medicine bag. I didn't know it was in my kit. Like, you really do travel with guns, but the sense of smell. I went to Heathrow some years ago. I got behind big dude with big dreads, big mammoth dreads. And you talk about smell. Mm. No one ever said, hey, man, wash your forehead. It stinks because it really doesn't hold anything. But the hair. The hair.
Holds on to a stench for you. Yeah.
Yes. It's the transporter of funk. And your nose, your eyelids, your earlobes, like none of that smells, but your hair. That hair will grab whatever your life is, it's in your hair. It's sort of.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's that. You know, when I used to do construction, I have to like work on people's apartment units and stuff like that. When they open the door, you get your first whiff of their lifestyle. Because especially during the winter months when they're like running a space heater and they kind of run it a little too much and it's a little too hot and the door opens and you go from the ambient hall smell to them. And it's like, I got a little cat in there, got a little, doesn't shower a lot in there, got a lot of, a little cooks with lard, you know, just, it all just kind of comes through.
From it, you know, I come from Eastern European roots, as you do, and there's that decided Eastern European food smell that emits from, you know, from Grammy and Poppy's house when I would go over there. And then, like you say, if you have a pet, you can smell the pet, and if there's a smoker in the house, you can smell that. But it's interesting, you're right, that if none of those things are true, in families, I could go into people's homes and say, oh, I know whose house, and blindfolded and say, I'm in so-and-so's house because of the smell.
Well, I got...
What is that about? That people have their own stench to them, so a smell to them.
I got behind this gentleman that was lead singer from Parliament, Funkadelics.
George Clinton, right?
George Clinton.
I have been close to him on a couple of occasions.
It was that kind of guy. A big guy, big hair, big smell. And because all we did was inch serpentine style, like, you know, you'd go 80 yards down one way, move over 16 inches, and come back 80 yards the other direction, go over another 14 inches, go back. I was behind the guy the entire time. There was no escaping. There was no escaping the funk. And at that particular time, I probably would have liked to be missing that sense.
I hear you. Yeah, that's I don't blame you for that. Yeah, I think you can survive that. So hair, really smelly, unclean hair. Would you say that's your least favorite smell? I think we should win, play, show it then. Worst smells outside of the obvious, let's avoid. Go ahead. If you want to involve bodily function, so be it. It's your program.
I say sack is unique in and of itself. There's nothing else that smells like scrotum sack on the planet. It's not like, you know, there are other forms of funk that could smell on the right day, like. And it's happened to every guy who's played ball and walked into a locker room and done that move where, like, you walk in and you go, does somebody get a pepperoni pizza? And then you see some dude naked next to you and you're like, oh, but it's weird BO meets just like the right density in the air or something. Yeah. But the sack is its own thing.
I'll give you one. Here's my wild card for bad bodily smells. There's the obvious. We've both spent time around Cousin Sal and the Kimmel brothers and all that. We're more than familiar with that. The burp. I'll make a case that I would rather have your flatulence than I would a pepperoni pizza. Mm. If you ate a salami sandwich and you start burping it up, that is more likely to make me vomit than even the most foul of gas.
Well, I'm going to blow your socks off with this next statement. I agree with you. It feels more intimate
to me. To think of it makes me want to say like that awful, like rotten pickle smell.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. I would much rather be urinated on than spat on.
Because you are a big advocate that urine is sterile.
Well, first off, once Dr. Drew told me that, it opened up my world. That was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made.
I've been using toilets and only toilets all these years.
But I have been peed on multiple times, but there's nothing worse than the loogie.
What are you talking about?
There's nothing worse.
You can't just breeze past that. What do you mean multiple times? What situations are you getting peed on all the time?
In the next episode of Good Sports, I will explain brewing.
I didn't know you were victimized by brewing.
Oh my God.
On more than one occasion.
The nuts and bolts of brewing.
Where Adam Carolla was in the crosshairs.
Oh, yes, I was.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And in the meantime, I think Philly boy back at home there, Ace, is going to be excited about this news. It's Super Chewer BarkBox. It's a monthly delivery of tough toys and more that your Super Chewing dog will love. Does Phil enjoy? He's a big boy. Does he enjoy the chew toys and everything?
Does.
Imagine that. I mean, that's fancy. How fancy are we in the 21st century that you can now give your black lab an array of chew toys and more. Like I say, each month's box comes with two tough toys, two meaty chews, and two full bags of treats. They focus on durable materials to keep your dog busy. A fluff-free guarantee. Nothing less than that.
A fluff-free guarantee?
Yeah, fluff-free guarantee.
No fluff. All the good stuff.
Oh, there you go. Every box totals more than $50 in value, but with a subscription, you pay as little as $29 a month, always with free shipping. Just let the team know your dog's size and your first month of Super Chewer chips right away. Remember, your dog may be small, but their mouth is still mighty, so do that for your small pups. But Ace, with the 100-pound dog, these also durable enough for Philly Boy. So for a limited time, get 50% off your first month of Super Chewer on a 6 or 12-month plan. Visit superchewer.com/goodsports and enter the promo code GOODSPORTS at checkout. Super Chewer Bark Box. And we will kibitz with you tomorrow on Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.